Hello, folks!
Welcome to the third episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, I am Rich Liebig.
And I am Michael Costanzo.
And we are here to bring you the latest in sports, entertainment, odd news, everything that you need so that we can be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and news.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
So, that was good. That was Mike picking the theme music, by the way. Good choice, Mike.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, you just are struck with these moments of revelation when you're driving home listening to music.
What was it? That was Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin, When the Levees Break.
Yeah, that's a
good... Or When the Levee Breaks.
That's a good choice, Mike.
Yeah, thank you.
I applaud you.
Oh, thank you. I don't get enough applause during the
No,
day.
You don't, so yes. I'll give you...
A round of applause to you, too.
Yeah.
All right.
So how are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing pretty good. Stressed out because of grad school, but you know, other than that, everything's going well. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. We had a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
We did 1 week off. I took the time to go visit my girlfriend's family down
That's
in
nice.
Delmarva,
little,
Eastern Shore,
little
Maryland.
Little vacation.
Yeah, it was very, very nice. What did you do in the week that we had off?
Read. Like three books for my grad school classes.
How much reading do you have to do? Like... On average.
This past week I did over 300 pages. I wrote like 7 pages of material and I had I have a class. Well, right now we're recording on Wednesday. I have a class later today. I had a class yesterday for 3 hours.
Wow.
It's a lot of work, yeah.
Well, there you go. Mike's hard at work and I'm just kicking back, relaxing.
That's what I did, you know, my boring weekend. I spent like 6-7 hours each day reading, just sitting there reading. So this is a welcome break from that.
So there you go. Also, apparently during the break we had off, wasn't there snow?
Yeah, there was
snow.
So
it was on Wednesday, right? Too? So even if we wanted to do a show, we probably would have had to delay it.
Yeah, snow in March.
Yeah.
It's not completely unheard of, but it's rare.
Yeah. Did it snow? Because I wasn't here. Did it snow a lot here in Philly? Or did?
No, I forget what day it snowed. It snowed like maybe a couple of inches.
Oh, okay.
But that's it.
All right.
Nothing big.
Did anybody have to go get bread and milk?
No.
Gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. They said snow! I gotta get the bread and milk! I gotta get the bread and milk! Oh, my God!
I'm sure there were a few people that reacted similarly to that.
Bet you one of them was my mom.
Aww.
I don't know what it is. Every time it snows, it's like...
Aww.
It could be like a covering of snow. It's like we gotta... Prepare for if we have to feed an army with French toast.
You never know. The apocalypse might strike when that snow hits, and then you'll be happy that you had that bread and milk.
Yeah, yes. And then we're going to have nothing but French toast for all the...
French. Hey, I like French toast.
So, I don't know. But anyway, that's a skit from Vic DiBeto that made the rounds on YouTube.
Yeah.
Gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. They said snow! I gotta get the bread and milk! I gotta get the bread and milk! Oh my God!
Yeah. Apparently all Northeast families react to snow like that.
So. They do. I'm not gonna lie, we do.
Did your mom go crazy?
No, not for that one. But there are other ones where it's like, oh my God, we gotta get batteries and flashlights and bread and milk and... Well, before Sandy hit.
Yeah.
And we were trying
Sandy
to.
Sandy was kind of the game changer.
Yeah. And we got a bad. Well, we got a bad here, but nowhere near as bad as other places.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But
Jersey got hit hard with that.
Oh, man. They got hit really hard.
Yeah. I'll never forget that image of that house that was just ripped in half.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. And apparently that's not too far from Union Beach, which is where my girlfriend's grandparents live.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so. Luckily, they didn't have any house damage, but they lost like all their cars due to flooding or something.
One of my friends from college, he stayed in Jersey during Sandy, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, I think. That's what he said. I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, all right, that's what he said. Oh, yeah. I also went on an adventure in Egypt where I had to uncover the great mysteries of King Tut.
I hunted the last of the dodo birds.
Oh, yes.
I was there that day. I brought down the majestic beast. I saw it in a clearing. We pushed aside some brush, and there it was. It just come out of a drinking hole. Its feathers were glistening with water, and I took it down with my bare hands.
I wrestled a bear once, 750-pound black bear. They got a big turkey neck, and they rubbed the turkey fat all over my body and put me in a ring with a bear. And then I started to dance with the bear like wrestling. I'm allergic to bear spit. I broke out in big welts. They had to wrap saran wrap around me and then wrestle the bear. I know about bear, and I can talk to them. I can give them a signal that we're safe, like, wee. That's the sound the bear makes.
All right, so there you go. Gary Busey answer. All right, now...
You know, that might have sounded scripted that I made that whole story about the dodo bird and taking it down with my bare hands, but that was not.
No, no, Mike's doing a good job at improv here.
Yeah, I had no idea that he had that sound clip. That was brilliant. It's really weird and eerie that it sort of went that way.
Yes.
That's the nature of our minds. I'm a little scared now.
Yeah, you're starting to think more like Gary Busey than you like to admit.
Oh, no.
People will laugh at you. The Indian elders and the Indian spirits are laughing at you.
So, all right, there you go.
People are already laughing at me, so it doesn't matter.
All right,
I hope they're laughing because of our podcast.
Yeah, hopefully you guys are getting chuckle out of the podcast.
No, it's just you guys.
No, you guys are two idiots.
Anyway.
Yeah, all right. I don't know how we got off onto this subject, but that's the nature of the crispy noodle.
Exactly, exactly. All right, so let's dive into some news with the sports sampler.
Aha, sports sampler. Very tasty treat.
Yes, and of course we know the big news in sports right now is the start of NFL free agency.
Yeah, like a ticking time bomb.
Yes, it just started, what was it, yesterday? Tuesday, the 12th?
It officially started Tuesday, but there are rumors already circulating around the weekend.
Well, we have some early winners and losers of the NFL free agency. SBNation.com says the Miami Dolphins, the Chicago Bears, and the Cleveland Browns are all winners with the signings that they've made. And the losers are the Colts, the Chiefs, and the Broncos. I think the interesting thing is, although I guess it really wouldn't be considered free agency now that I think about it, but the Chiefs, I thought they did a good job in signing Alex Smith.
Yeah, but that's not really free agency. You don't really know what value Alex Smith is going to have. And also, the Chiefs just, you know, lose at everything. So yeah. they're consistent.
They're getting ahead of the curve, and they're just saying they've already lost free agency.
Yeah. The Chiefs definitely needed to make a move on quarterback because Matt Castle's not working out with them.
No, not at all.
So they needed a switch, and 49ers needed to dump a quarterback. So
yeah, there's some other interesting 49ers news.
What do you got?
The big trade. Anquan Boldin from the Ravens for a 6th-round pick. Now, wait. I don't know if anybody said this yet. They probably have. But they're brothers. Do you think there's some deals going on around the dinner table?
Whose brothers? Oh, you mean the Harbaugh? Yeah.
Anquan Boldin for a 6th-round pick? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. When
any other team, they would have demanded a 2nd-round or a 1st-round.
Yeah. But he's the brother. Give him a discount.
I don't know. I think JB could attest to the fact that neither of us would give the other one a discount.
Yeah, if you and Bruno were... All right, Bruno, for those that don't know...
I'd say 2 first-round picks.
For those that don't know, Bruno is the younger brother of Mike, and he helps out behind the scenes. He's not here right now.
Well, he took some pictures earlier.
Yeah.
We'll have them up on the website.
He's the silent partner, behind-the-scenes guy. But if you and Bruno were in charge of 2 NFL teams, you want to give each other... As a matter of fact, you would increase the prices on your players?
I mean, I say that jokingly. Honestly, we'd give each other a discount, which is why that sprung to my mind right away about the Harbaughs, is that Anquan Boldin for a 6th-round pick. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, Anquan Boldin...
He's one of the top receivers, not only that, but he...
He helped Joe Flacco win that Super Bowl.
And in the playoffs, didn't he have something ridiculous, like 3 touchdowns in the postseason? And...
Yeah, there was one. Yeah, there was one game, I believe he had 2, I think. I'm not sure.
And in the Super Bowl, he had like 7 or 8 receptions. He was a big part in that
Super
Bowl win.
Yeah, he's a big part,
So for a 6th-round pick, that's kind of ridiculous.
Apparently, Joe Flacco is going to have to do everything now that he signed that massive contract.
Yeah, $120 million, right?
Yeah, highest paid quarterback.
That's every quarterback, though.
Yeah, whenever a new contract comes out for one of these guys, they always get that new term labeled onto them.
Yeah,
but do you think Joe Flacco should be the most paid quarterback right now?
No, no, because you have other quarterbacks like Manning and Rodgers and Brady that I think they've done far more in their careers than Joe Flacco has so far. There's that stigma. Isn't that one of the running jokes, is that he'll never be considered elite no matter what he does?
Yeah, it's a running gag.
I don't know. He just seems like second tier to Brady and Manning and Rodgers and Drew Brees. Do you feel that way too? Or
I mean, I feel like now that He's won a Super Bowl.
Maybe he's like the fifth in that list.
I believe he's moved up the chain. Yeah.
But not $120 million.
Yeah, I don't think he should be the most.
Because now he's paid higher than Brady and Manning.
Yeah, and Brady took a pay cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Patriots had the nerve to went up to Tom Brady.
And Mr. said, Brady, you've won us 3 Super Bowls.
But if you want to stay on this team, you're taking a pay cut.
You know, though, that says a lot about the Patriots organization, because it seems like he cares more about the team than his own personal.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what? He doesn't need money anyway. He's got enough money, and he's got the supermodel wife. Yeah, he doesn't need it.
He's got it all. He could just stop playing right now, and wouldn't even make a difference to him.
And he would still be like a first ballot Hall of Famer too.
Oh yeah, there'd
be
easily.
Yeah, he doesn't need to.
He's been 5 Super Bowls, and he won 3.
Yeah,
that's impressive for anybody.
Yeah, he has.
Most quarterbacks never even make it once.
Yeah, you know, and then some don't even win one. And
yeah,
you know, Marino,
and poor Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, well,
I know you don't. I don't know why you dislike McNabb. Well, his personality.
No, I don't like the way he conducted himself towards the end.
Post Eagles, he really went off the deep end.
Just starting after. I would say the acquisition of Vic. After they signed Vic.
You think he kind of went a little.
Yeah, I think that's when it all started to crumble apart for Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, you could definitely.
He started to criticize the Eagles. He tried to weep for himself. Oh, I'm the most criticized quarterback of
all
time.
Well, he has been criticized a lot.
Yeah.
Although some of that he brings on himself.
Yeah.
With the things by saying I'm the most criticized quarterback.
Yeah,
you're going to get criticized for that.
Yeah, stop it.
In his defense, he's the best quarterback that the Philadelphia Eagles have ever had. I wanted to talk about the Miami Dolphins, though, because as I'm going through this list, they added Mike Wallace from the Steelers and Danelle Ellerbe, which was one of the linebackers from the Ravens.
Yeah, Dolphins trying to make a splash.
I mean, those are two really good signings, I think.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
You got to in that AFC East. That's a tough division between the Jets, Patriots, Dolphins.
They're and, all...
What's that other team?
The Bills.
Yeah, that team that lost 4 Super Bowls.
You know, all joking aside, it is a very competitive division.
Yeah. The Bills always, for some odd reason, have never been...
They have flashes.
The last couple of years. Yeah,
they have flashes of brilliance.
They get they'll go on like a random 4-game winning streak.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Well, did they open this year like that or last year like that where they won 4 or 5 in a row?
It was either 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah, they started out like 5-1.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, this is the year they're going to, you know, break 500. And then, they're done.
So much for that.
Poor Bills.
That was a heck of an effort, and that puts him in 3rd and manageable, and now he has to manage it.
3rd and manageable.
Third and manageable. So there you go.
One of the things that the Eagles didn't manage, however, was the Asamoah situation.
Oh, yeah.
They signed him, 2 years ago? Paid him
That was
a
the,
lot
the free agent.
That was the
catch of the year. It was supposed
dream
to be.
Team.
Oh, God, that makes me shudder now.
But they dumped him. They cut him.
Yeah.
He's done.
He kept getting burned down deep.
Yeah. I think part of the problem was trying to wedge him into a defense that didn't really mesh with his style. And I also think part of the problem was just the attitude of the team. Because you didn't have the front 7. Yeah. You had a couple of guys trying. But then you have people like Jason Babin, who is more concerned with his stat sheet. Oh, how many tackles? How many sacks did I get this game? And then you have people like Trent Cole trying to, you know, actually stop the run. And it showed this last year when they went 4-12. Everybody just gave up.
Yeah.
They just gave up. It's not that they're not talented. We have some talented players.
Those last few games of the Eagles season were pathetic.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Outright pathetic.
Some of the worst that I've seen in my short life following the Eagles.
Yeah, it was just... There's no excuse. And Andy Reid deserved to be fired on the spot after last game with the Giants going down 35-3 in the first half.
It was bad. Actually, I think I've blocked that from my memory because I don't even recall that.
Like, at least have some pride, you know?
Yeah.
John Madden, at least. I'm not going to play a John Madden quote, but you know, at least play for pride.
Play for your coach.
Yeah.
Play for anything. Play for personal pride. Don't just lie down and give up.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Yeah, or Herm Edwards. Play to win the game.
You play to win the game.
Yeah, hello?
Hello? You don't just play to play it.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
You know what? I'm going to bring up something.
Okay.
Bringing up something.
Go ahead.
This is a sudden...
Go ahead.
new appetizer. That's in the sports sample.
We're getting two appetizers today.
Yeah. The Herm Edwards clip is one of my favorite clips. Of course, you play to win the game. We just played it. But people don't take that to heart.
No, they don't.
People just laugh it off as a funny sound clip. And I mean, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I am using it for the purpose of a funny sound clip.
Right.
But that is a real message. You play to win the game, all right?
Why else are you playing?
But you think people know this. The Denver Broncos didn't notice that in that playoff game where they decide to make Peyton Manning take a knee with 40 seconds left and two timeouts.
I had picked the Broncos to win that game. As soon as he did that, I started cursing a blue streak because I knew that they weren't in it. They didn't want to win.
Yeah.
They didn't want to win.
They were playing for a...
They had 30 seconds left.
They had 40.
40.
40 with two timeouts.
And it was tied.
And Peyton Manning in your corner.
And you take a knee?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
That was not playing to win the game.
This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out. This whole conversation bothers me.
Yeah, this whole conversation bothers me.
Where was he on the Denver sideline?
Yeah, seriously.
If that had happened in a bigger market, oh my God, they would have been crucified.
Yeah.
Andy Reid, everybody already hated him. But could you imagine if he made a call like that? I'm sure he has over the years, but in that situation.
In a playoff game with your season on the line.
The fans would have stormed the field.
Yeah. Philly would have been in riots.
Watching it on TV and I was furious. It wasn't even my team. It's a team halfway across the country.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, but I think that this is one of the reasons why Peyton Manning is never going to... If you put a gun to my head and you say, name the best quarterback, it goes to Tom Brady easily. I think it's easy. I don't think there's a debate.
No.
Peyton Manning just sucks in the playoffs.
He really does.
He just becomes a void in the playoffs. He'll give you all the stats that you want.
Regular season, take Peyton Manning any day.
He'll be the Dan Marino. He'll beat all the Dan Marino records. He'll beat the Brett Favre records. He'll beat everything. But I don't trust him in one game with my season on the line. No. I don't.
I'd put in a backup.
Sometimes I'd rather put in Eli Manning. Eli Manning sometimes at least can...
My brother, we always have this argument. I say, take Peyton Manning any day in the regular season. As soon as you get to the postseason, I'd take Eli Manning.
Yeah, Eli Manning at least.
He looks like a scared little deer stuck in headlights.
I don't know why. Why doesn't Peyton Manning just do the same thing he does during the season?
Because people call him the best. And when you're called the best, it's like, I have to live up to that. So he puts this added pressure on him and he starts getting conservative. He doesn't want to make a mistake because he knows when he makes a mistake, things could start to turn south. So in an effort to get ahead of the mistakes, he starts playing conservative. Well, and there's nobody to check him because he is the final authority on that offense. It's not like the coach can be...
Yeah, Peyton Manning makes the final call. Yeah. He is the play caller on that.
And I think as brilliant as that is in the regular season when he's outsmarting teams that are 6-10, in the playoffs when you're going up a 13-3 opponent, you might want your head coach in your ear.
Yeah, or at least... Oh God! At least
there has to be a system of checks and balances.
At least in that situation, try your first pass. They didn't even try one play.
Yeah,
you have two timeouts. You can try a play, and then if it doesn't work, call timeout.
Exactly,
and then go into overtime it didn't work.
If they had played it right, they could have gotten five or six plays off.
Yeah, two timeouts. You could have done that easily.
Easily.
You could even run the ball on the first down and then take a timeout. It wouldn't have stopped the clock.
At least run a play to gauge the defense. See how they're playing at that moment. If they're like all over you, maybe it's better to go to overtime. But if you call a play and you gain like 17, 18 yards, maybe, hey, we can do this.
Yeah.
But they didn't even try that.
They didn't.
Here we are talking about free agency, but we're railing against Peyton Manning for the playoffs.
So, yeah, just in short, just a reminder to everybody, this is the point of this part of the sampler. Just a notice to everybody.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Thank you. All right. Now let's go back to our regularly scheduled program.
Well, we touched on some of the winners and losers in free agency. Andy Reid got his guy, Alex Smith, in Kansas City.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that'll be a good fit for Andy Reid because Andy Reid likes to do a West Coast offense.
Yeah. And Alex Smith has shown potential. I don't think he got a good enough chance in San Fran.
Yeah, especially with Colin Kaepernick just all of a sudden uprooting him.
Yeah, that
but
That was actually kind of sad.
The facts were facts. They were scoring an extra touchdown with Colin Kaepernick. I guess I would have made the same choice, you know. If you have one quarterback who over 10 games is producing one extra touchdown that the other guy hasn't been doing in two seasons.
Yeah. I think things will go well for him in Kansas City, though. He seems like a quarterback that can handle adversity the way that he did in San Fran.
You know what he could do?
What?
He could look towards the model of Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Where everyone said, oh, he'll never be as good as Brett Favre. And, you know, how are you going to replace Brett Favre? Right. And Aaron Rodgers took that to heart and took that as a personal challenge. Like, you think I can't do this? Well, give me a chance. And then when he had that chance.
You take that and you use it to propel yourself forward.
Yeah, and he did. And eventually getting the Packers a Super Bowl win. And then the following season going 15-1, even though they left the playoffs early in that one. But it's still impressive.
Still impressive.
Yeah, and he's up there too now in terms of... You know, best quarterbacks in the
top
league right
five,
now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people were wondering how you're going to replace Brett Favre. Well, he did.
Brett Favre is one of those guys that when he's hot, he can really be hot. Brett Favre throws as well as anyone. He throws better than anyone. What the heck am I talking about? He's the darndest guy I've ever seen. He can pick up a baseball with his foot.
John Madden loves Brett Favre.
Is that a new test at the combine? Pick up a baseball
with your foot. Yep.
Well, he ran a 5.40 time, but
that's the Brett Favre test.
Yeah, he can't do any bench presses, but he can pick up a baseball with his foot.
Wow! Sign him. Oh, you know what?
Raiders would do that.
You know what? I just realized something. We need to update something else. A third part.
All right.
This is a really big sports sampler. I'm sorry.
It's a good thing we did a rundown of the show beforehand, so we knew what we were talking about.
we might overload you guys on the sports sampler. But as an update, the first episode we did of the Crispy Noodle podcast, we talked to you about a female kicker.
Right.
Did you hear what happened?
Yeah, that's sad.
She got two kicks in, and then I think
19 and 14 yards,
and then
something
like
that.
Tore her quad or something.
Well, here's the thing.
She got a quad injury.
Her leg was injured before that, but she still wanted to kick anyway.
She didn't want to be the first female kicker, and then all of a sudden... Yeah.
So, you know, it was admirable that she, you know, fought through the injury and tried to kick anyway. It's just a shame that's so anticlimactic. Such a great chance to, you know, make history and then just blah.
So we're thinking of you.
Yeah.
Stay strong.
We're keeping you updated. You know what's funny? I have another update. Not last week, but the second show, I think we talked about Dennis Rodman going to North Korea, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Basketball diplomacy.
Woo!
Well, it turns out that Dennis Rodman wants to go back to North Korea because he plans to vacation with Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, that sounds like a buddy cop movie.
Yeah, that would be an awesome buddy cop movie. Says that Rodman met...
I can't be calm. No. I'm the master of the mechanical stuff, and I have to help you. You, the master of the stupid stuff.
There you go. That's one of their dialogues.
It said he visited in February. It was not endorsed by the U.S. State Department, which is such a shame. But Dennis Rodman said he doesn't think Kim wants war, and he considers the leader a friend. Even though he doesn't agree with his policies. That's like saying, Hitler's a swell guy. I just don't agree with some of the things that he does. You know?
Oh, boy. I don't know. Whatever Dennis Rodman wants to do, he can...
Well, apparently Kim Jong-un is a diehard basketball fan. So they're planning...
I can't believe that.
They're planning to get together in North Korea in August and vacation together.
Aw, they're going to hold hands.
This will prevent World War III.
Yeah, Dennis Rodman is going to prevent World War III. Oh, dear God, no. It's not going to happen.
Could you imagine 30 years from now in the history books, Dennis Rodman prevents World War III.
See it on a newspaper.
He'll be a national hero, Congressional Medal of Honor.
Rodman prevents WW3 in the newspaper.
That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage, and the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Yeah, I would agree with Mike Undy on that one.
But that was the second update that we have for you in regards to stories that we brought up some weeks ago.
Okay, all right. I think we've had enough of the appetizers.
Yeah, we're all filled up with.
Yeah, we might not have room for the entertainment entree.
Oh,
Maybe it'll be a light entree.
You know what's funny is because the one thing that I wanted to talk about in the entertainment entree actually had to deal with food.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Last night, Hell's Kitchen, the new season of Hell's Kitchen premiered. And I'm a big fan of Hell's Kitchen. I know you're a big fan of Hell's Kitchen.
Yes,
I do. Did you watch the premiere?
Yes, I did.
Awesome, as always.
It was pretty interesting.
They have some characters, as always.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never seen the puppet.
The puppet.
There's a woman on Hell's Kitchen who communicates in her downtime with a chef puppet.
Yeah, and it was really, really weird.
Very weird. I don't know,
because she's standing at the foot of people's beds when they're all like relaxing in the apartment or whatever, and she's talking to them with this puppet. And I'm thinking, if I'm in that position of watching this person,
slap the puppet out of her hand.
Yeah, I would freak out, because. Not like freak out like scared, but freak out like angry wise, because you can tell the people aren't into it at all. Yeah. And she just keeps going and going and going.
No, stop it.
Just stop it. I would lose it. I would just start yelling.
Yeah. Slap that puppet out of her hand.
Yes.
Assuming direct control.
Yeah. Or assume. Yeah. Good job, Harbinger. Yeah. Yes. Assume direct control.
Take control of the puppet.
Yeah. Knock that puppet out of her hand.
It was one of the strangest things I've seen. And I've seen quite a few strange things on that show.
Yeah.
But that was one of the weirdest. You know what, though? It's interesting, the popularity of cooking shows nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, cooking shows are starting to take off now between what they do on the Food Channel, what Ramsay does with all of his shows.
He has
Epic Mealtime on YouTube.
Yeah. Ramsay specifically, he has Kitchen Nightmares. He has a U.S. and a U.K. version of that, correct?
Yeah, and of Hell's Kitchen too. There's a
and
UK
Hell's Kitchen.
Version.
There's a UK version. So that's four shows right there between two franchises. And then he has.
And then on BBC, he's got like a.
He has like an informational show, right?
Yeah, like an
Yeah, I saw one time he was doing something about shark fin soup.
The F word, I think, is what it's called.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That yeah, that rings a bell.
Yeah. The good F word, not the bad F word.
And he has another show where he's a judge on a panel. I think it's Master Chef or something.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he also has Master Chef. Oh,
so
my, yeah,
what is that? Six shows.
What?
And he's got a bunch of restaurants. The guy is everywhere.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny how, of like all the reality shows nowadays, cooking shows are really taking off for some reason.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Well, I mean, it's something that we all have to deal with. How are you going to get food?
True.
Which, by the way, as a coincidence, we had Chinese food before the show.
Oh, yes.
So, interesting.
We sadly didn't have any. Why didn't we get crispy noodles?
I don't know. We should have got crispy noodles.
That seems
we didn't have any soup.
Oh, yeah.
We had like straight-up chicken.
Seems like a huge oversight now when you think about it.
Yeah, we had straight-up chicken.
Yeah, General Tso's chicken. It's delicious.
Yeah. But yeah, these cooking shows are very, very interesting.
Yeah. What is it that's interesting about them? Is it the food? Is it the personalities? Is it everything? I mean, I'm trying to pin it down. I think the intensity in Hell's Kitchen is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, watching them do the dinner service, it's something that a lot of people aren't familiar with, like working in the kitchen, like professionally.
An actual like professional
so
kitchen.
So seeing behind the scenes is just really cool, and the intensity is incredible.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the first cooking show that got me that got me hooked into cooking shows was probably Emeril Lagasse, because he always did the bam, bam, bam. Yeah. Here's garlic, bam, just everything, bam.
That seems right up your alley.
Yeah. We're going to make cooking loud. Bam, bam. And then after that was Iron Chef, the original Iron Chef, the Iron Chef Japan.
I'm not familiar with that.
The original Iron Chef Japan is the most intense thing you will ever see, because in addition to the pressure of you trying to win the show and you're trying to make the best food, the chefs in Japan have like a sense of honor too, like with their
right.
food. Like it's almost
it's an
like,
art form.
Yeah, it's an art.
Like sushi.
If you're calling somebody's food bad, it's like you're
slapping them.
Yeah, it's like you're also saying that person's bad too.
Yeah, it's you're like dishonoring the person and like dishonoring the family, and you know,
I don't know if it's a family too. I don't know if we're going into ancestral.
That might be taking a little far, but no, there is that in Japan. There is that very honor bound sort of.
Yeah, your work represents who you are.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
if you say it's bad, that's a personal.
Yeah, that's a personal insult.
Yeah. Oh my god! So imagine that intensity, but just taken to that nth degree, and that's what Iron Chef Japan was.
Wow.
They used to keep track, and they also used to keep track of, like, their standings, how, like, what record each Iron Chef was.
Right.
And if, like, an Iron Chef lost, like, three times in a row, there would be, like, a little bit of, like, oh, the Iron Chef needs to win one, or...
Right.
He, or his Iron Chef hood, it would be up for grabs or something. And it was very intense, and it made good. And then of course it was always funny to see all the horrible ad lib, or the libbing done over.
Oh right,
yeah, which they made fun of awesomely on Saturday Night Live. If you ever get bored, they made fun of Iron Chef Japan with Charlie Sheen as American Bachelor Chef, and his main course was shark head pizza. That's another thing too. They'd give you the main ingredient. And right. The host of the show is like this flamboyant Japanese guy. He's like, and he takes off the blanket thing. It's not a blanket, but like
a towel, like a cloth.
It's like a clay. It's a cloth of something that covers the
dish,
the main ingredient that they have to use. But like he wouldn't just like tear it off. He'd do this like show stopping, whip it in the air. This is the
like game show style.
Yeah, no, even top that. Like it's no, because Vanna White does like, oh, you know, here's a letter. Little, bing.
Right.
Like, no, this is like I'm gonna whip it in the air. It's like a show. It's like a mini show within a show almost.
The revealing of the ingredient.
Yeah,
that's funny.
And then you had that, and then the Iron Chefs themselves. Each of them had a personality. So for me, Iron Chef Japan was the one that really took me into cooking shows, and I loved that.
For me, it was Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, Hell's Kitchen is a big one, yeah, too. Yeah,
that's the one that got me hooked. It all started in college when you're sitting in your dorm room at, like, in the middle of the afternoon, like, around noon or 1 o'clock, and there's just, like, an hour between classes. You have nothing to do. So I would stumble onto Hulu and be like, oh, what's Hell's Kitchen? Just watch random shows. That's when I got hooked.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, however you get hooked on it.
Trying to kill half an hour in between classes or something. instead of doing work.
Yeah. I watched Hell's Kitchen just because I wanted to see Ramsay yell at people. That was pretty funny.
I had never known about Ramsay before that. And so when I started watching
was his first.
Yeah.
I think that was his first. He did Kitchen Nightmares after that, right?
Yeah, I think he did Kitchen Nightmares, well, here at least, after Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, he was known in Britain before then. To get things into the present... I love Chopped.
I have not seen that.
Oh, you should watch Chopped.
Yeah.
What they do is there's four chefs, three rounds. Each round, a chef gets eliminated, and each round is a part of a meal. It's actually kind of like like the crispy noodle.
Hey, there we go.
The first round is an appetizer.
Okay.
The second round is the dinner, the main entree, and the third one's a dessert. Just like the crispy noodle.
Like the crispy noodle.
And
we're relevant.
Yeah. And what they do is instead of one main ingredient, they throw four things that have to be in the dish.
Right.
So it could be anything from like a type of flour, or it could be a type of meat, or Coca-Cola, or it could be anything. Yeah, but whatever it is, those four ingredients have to be in the dish somehow. And then they have to create whatever they want.
That sounds really interesting. And of course, the ingredients are probably stuff that doesn't really.
You think wouldn't go together. Yeah, you think aren't going to go together.
That's one of the great things about the cooking shows as well. Is you see these dishes, you're like, oh man, I didn't even know you could do stuff like that.
Yeah, you know. And then what's funny is now, like when I have like leftovers in the refrigerator and I don't know what to make, I kind of feel like I'm in a Chopped frame of mind. I'm like, when am I going to? Let's see.
Just throw everything into a pot.
Hey, I did the one. I don't know if I told you. The one day I took, there was leftover pot roast. And I took that. I chopped it up. I chopped up an onion too because I like onion.
Oh, onion's awesome.
Yeah, so I chopped up an onion and I chopped up the rest of this pot roast.
Right.
Put it in a pan. And then I got a pot and I had vegetable soup.
Okay.
And I threw that in, and then I mixed it all together, and I had, like, beef vegetable soup.
That's, yeah.
And it was pretty tasty. And then, yes, if I do say so, if I'm my own critic, I love myself.
All right, then.
Yep. I would have given myself a 20 out of 20 and Five stars and everything.
Oh, wow. 20 out of 20. And 5 stars?
Yeah, and 5 stars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a weird grading system, but okay. Well, you got 20 out of 20, but only 3 stars, so.
But,
so it was
pretty good.
It was a non-vegetarian soup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, so that's how I view leftovers now. When I'm looking in the fridge, I'm like,
all
right,
if
I was on, we're just that, yeah. I don't care. Yeah. Mix them all together. Let's see what happens. But no, when I look in stuff in the refrigerator, I'm like, all right, if I was on Chopped, what would I do? So it's pretty neat.
That is pretty cool. Yeah.
That's a show you should get into.
Yeah.
So there's Chopped, Hell's Kitchen. You know what else I like? What's the other show that Ramsay does?
Kitchen Nightmares?
Yeah. It's kind of like Kitchen Nightmares. There's a show called Restaurant Impossible, which kind of does the same thing as what Ramsay does in Kitchen Nightmares.
Right.
But he's on a set budget.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So
and ironically, he has more of his places succeed than Ramsay does, because Ramsay just brings in his own team.
Right.
And they can
That's
use...
like a big thing is that after Chef Ramsay goes to places in Kitchen Nightmares, most of them fail.
Yeah, because, well, he's on an unlimited budget. So when he's there, he can do whatever the hell he wants to. He can fix up the decorum. He can fix up the kitchen.
Here's
but
the
when
most
he leaves...
energy-consuming appliances ever.
Yeah. But when he leaves, then it's back in your court. Yeah. It's all up to you. Whereas... the other guy on Restaurant Impossible, I forget his name now, he has to work in a set budget, so every decision he makes is critical. He doesn't have an infinite budget to deal with.
That's cool, though, placing those restraints on that type of stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason why most of the people who go on that show, their restaurants succeed more than than Chef Ramsay's.
Yeah, because it's not just crazy whatever they want, you know.
But time out.
Yeah, did you want to do the side dish now? Because we were talking about cooking stuff.
All right, yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
Time out. That fucking sucks.
Sorry.
That fucking sucked.
I had to communicate something to Rich, so we had to stop everything, and I had to explain something. I just wanted to bring up, because we're talking about food, so I wanted to introduce... the side dish, and this is a sort of a mini segment that we have.
Oh, Mike's side dish.
Yeah. This is a mini segment we have where we just bring up something random.
Did you find it on the internet?
Yes, I did. I did find it on the internet. The internet was speaking to me in tongues. I love how you cut up the previous episodes and you make them into sound clips.
If I find something that's worthy, you got to do it.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues. Yes, I have a special connection with the internet. But anyway, so for the side dish, because we're on the subject of food, I found this interesting infographic about the extraordinary McDonald's menu items that you may not know about. And these are weird McDonald's dishes that they've come up with that are like, some of them are specific to different countries or different parts of the U.S., and some of them are really weird.
Okay.
And I wanted to just...
Does it include fish McBites?
No.
They're pretty tasty, by the way, if you ever get a chance
Are they?
To... Yeah.
I'll have to try them, though.
Yeah, if you're in a bind and you want a quick snack, fish McBites are pretty good. But anyway, continue on your list.
Speaking of fish, some of the items are really odd, like the McLobster.
That doesn't sound appetizing at all.
New England... This is in New England and Canada. They have a lobster roll. I don't know...
But it's called a McLobster.
A McLobster.
That does not sound tasty whatsoever.
It gets stranger. In Japan, they have something called the Ebi Fileo, which is a shrimp burger.
Ew.
Yeah. They have Hawaii has a Spam McGriddle.
Which Spam?
Is, yes, it's Spam, pineapple, and and rice. Why rice?
Yes!
Yes! What was that?
Sean Connery likes that.
Oh, God, this is just worse. There's a hula burger, which is a burger featuring pineapple instead of meat. So I guess it's just
straight up pineapple.
Just pineapple in a bun or a roll or something.
Yeah, that doesn't. What? Why? just go out. Go out to the supermarket. Cut up a pineapple. Why do you need to get one at McDonald's?
There are some interesting sounding ones. Okay, like India has a Big Mac made with lamb or chicken meat. That doesn't sound too crazy.
Yeah, that's not too out of the way.
But this one, because this sounds, I think, interesting. The cheese katsu, which it's in Asia. It's a fried pork sandwich stuffed with cheese.
Okay.
That's all right.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too...
Not as bad as the other ones. Oh, no. Oh, Indonesia and the Philippines have the Mick spaghetti.
Ew.
Imagine going to McDonald's. Yes, I'd like a spaghetti dish.
A Mick spaghetti?
A Mick spaghetti.
That alone just sounds like a parody of something. Like, oh.
In that region, India has the Mikalu Tiki Burger, which is a vegetable burger made with potatoes, peas, and spices.
So a potato burger?
Yeah, it's like eating fries with your... It's like double potatoes.
Now, why is it that a Mick burger or something?
What do you mean?
Is it called a Mick something?
Mikalu Tiki Burger, yeah. They had... at one point, they had a Mick pizza.
Yes, because I go to McDonald's and I want a slice of pizza.
And this one's really odd. England has a bacon roll. It's bacon and ketchup in a hard roll.
So straight up bacon?
Just bacon and ketchup, yeah. A kiwi burger with a beef patty, cooked beetroot, egg,
ew,
tomato, lettuce, cheese, onion, and mustard.
I don't need a beetroot, thank you very much. Especially from McDonald's. No, thank you.
But South Korea has one of the oddest ones. It has a green tea McFlurry. And apparently McDonald's in Germany serve beer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I would like that.
Yeah.
Future is already here, so why don't we go get a beer?
Yes, of course. But that is the side dish. Some McDonald's and menu items you might not know about.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah, just some random facts to spice up your day. What do you think? Would you order any of them?
I might order some of the lamb or pork ones that you talked about.
Yeah, like the pork, the cheese katsu, pork sandwich stuffed with cheese.
The bacon one, what's that? It's just called...
It's just bacon. It's bacon called roll? The bacon roll. It's just bacon and ketchup.
I would order the bacon and take the buns off and just have the bacon.
I'd like the bacon roll, hold the ketchup and the buns.
Yeah, hold the...
So you just want bacon? Yes.
Yes, thank you.
I'll take all the bacon and eggs you have.
Yes, all the bacon and eggs that you have.
Now, I'm afraid what you heard was, give me a lot of bacon and eggs. But what I actually said was, give me all the bacon
all
and
the
eggs
bacon
you have.
All the bacon and eggs that you have.
Parks and Recreation, Ron Swanson.
That's another good show.
An awesome show. So that was the side dish, our little deviation of the day. You know whose idea that was? Well, we came up with the idea to have a side dish. But my dad was the person that said, I want to hear more random facts. Just little random factoids. So
yeah,
I said,
so shout out to your dad.
Yeah, shout out to my dad. So I said, all right, well, when I found this, I said, this is, I guess, something that he would be interested in. A random factoid.
Does your dad have a favorite sound clip that we play?
I don't think so.
No?
Just play something random.
This is a shout out to your dad.
All right.
You're the man now, dog.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
He's the man now, dog.
He is the man. All right.
Can it wait for a bit? I'm in the middle of some calibrations.
Your dad's an engineer, right?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, so there you go.
Can it wait for a bit? I'm in the middle of some calibrations.
Oh, my gosh. My dad is an awesome video game character, apparently.
Yeah, he obviously needs to do so many calibrations, right?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, this damn gun still needs calibrating.
I just picture my dad in that role. It's just so weird. That
Garrus Vakarian role.
Yeah, that juxtaposition. So now that we've derailed a little bit, let's get back to talking about entertainment. I believe there was something else you wanted to talk about, another TV show that you were really interested in.
Oh, yeah. So during the week off that we had,
right,
I got to finally watch The Walking Dead.
Ooh, that's an awesome show.
And wow, I'm hooked onto it. I think it's a great show.
They took this pop culture right now is so filled with zombies.
Well, yeah, that's another thing, too.
The Walking Dead's been around a lot longer as a comic book. I've never read it, but apparently it's, like, really, really awesome. But they make the zombies, they focus more on the society aspects, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not like a
like
typical...
What would you do?
It's not a Night of the Living Dead just run away from zombies. It's more like getting into the psyche of it and...
Yeah, the mindset that you're essentially in survival mode.
Right. How far are you willing to go to survive? That is a big question when you talk about dystopic stories.
Yeah. And that's what The Walking Dead capitalizes on.
Yeah.
Including some parts where a character can just, like, off himself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like that, characters
killing each other just because they got bit, so we're going to just, like, that ruthlessness.
Well, that's kind of a zombie rule, really.
I know, but still the psychology of it could, I mean, imagine you're in that situation where, like, you had this person, like, for about a year or something, and then he gets bit, and then you just have to kill him. Like, I mean, what's going through your head?
Yeah. But you know what? Like, there's a big area of people that are zombie experts and will tell you the first 50 things you need to do if there's a zombie breakout. And it's just a given rule to them that if one of your own gets bit,
you got to off them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No excuses.
It's easy to say that, though. It's much harder to do it.
Yeah.
And that's what the show focuses on, are those more human moments. Like, did you watch the second season?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, when they open the barn on Herschel's farm.
Yeah, and it's nothing but his relatives that have become
zombies.
But
what was the last zombie to walk out? And you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, it was the girl that they were looking for.
It was so chilling. She walks out, and then, of course, Rick's group, they just collapse. Everyone's, like, crying and freaking out. And then, of course, the guy that was the hard ass that was supposed to be the one to you know, take over the group and be more violent, Shane, he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So then Rick had to do it. And that was such a powerful moment.
Yeah.
And that's what that show was about.
How would you handle if your kid got bit, you know?
Yeah.
Could you off your own kid?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know. It's just, you can't even imagine it.
I mean, logically, you have to go through the process that if they are a zombie, they're not your kid anymore.
But they're not a zombie. I mean, at that point, she was a zombie. But I mean, like, what happens if they just get bit? What are you going to do? You're going to take them around with you? Maybe hold out for a cure?
Yeah.
Maybe, have you seen The Governor?
Yeah.
How far did you get in season 3?
Halfway?
Yeah. So have you seen his freaky little obsession? Uh-huh. Yeah. So would it be like that?
Yeah. Like,
or
how far can you go?
Yeah.
I don't know. So it was just something I did during the week off that we had.
Well, that's awesome that you caught up on that show. Yeah. I know you keep suggesting that I should watch Mad Men and Breaking Bad, and I have seen an episode of Breaking Bad. It's incredible. It's just, I don't have the time to sit down and watch, you know.
Yeah, Breaking Bad is addictive.
5-6 seasons, yeah.
You watch one show, all of a sudden it's 3 weeks ahead, and you've lost...
Five hours later, and you're digging into your sixth episode in a row. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And Mad Men is great to follow, too.
And all these shows are on AMC, right?
Yeah. I tell you what, AMC is doing a good job with their shows. The only problem is these producers that keep asking for more and more money, and then they're... banging AMC, and then they get into a gridlock with AMC, and then AMC pays them more money, and then AMC wants more money from cable providers, and then they threaten to leave cable providers. I don't know. I wish there was a way you could prevent that.
Well, the shows are so popular, there is no way to prevent it. As long as people keep watching them, they're going to keep bringing in or needing more money. You know?
I don't know. I wish there was some way to prevent that cycle. Because I'm afraid it's going to happen to The Walking Dead. I'm afraid it's going to happen to... Well, it didn't happen with Breaking Bad, really. Really, the main culprit was Mad Men, who was behind this cycle.
Of the producers wanting more and more.
Yeah. But, I mean, it serves that figure. You're going to want this season to be bigger and better than last season. You want to keep the show going up in terms of quality.
Right.
But at the same time, it's going to keep this cycle going where AMC is going to keep threatening... to leave cable companies.
Yeah, because they need them. They need more and more money.
I mean, they already left Dish, right? Was it Dish that they left?
I think some channels left. I think
or DirecTV. It was
maybe,
either. It was
yeah,
either,
one of those.
One of the satellite providers, right. AMC, just flat out left.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't give them...
That's a shame, because they really do have incredible shows.
Yeah.
And they always show great movies. Mm-hmm. Like, every once in a while, they'll get on a Lord of the Rings kick and just show, like, all the Lord of the Rings movies for, like, a whole weekend straight.
Yeah.
So, or are they the one that does the Godfather, too, when they have the Godfather marathons?
Yeah, every now and then they do. Every now and then they have a Godfather marathon.
They have these, like, little addictions to certain movies. Yeah. They just play over. Not that it's a bad... I could watch Godfather and Lord of the Rings anytime, you know?
Godfather for me.
Yeah.
But
anyway, AMC is an awesome station, and I hope they don't go anywhere.
Yeah, and hopefully they keep up the shows.
Yeah.
The quality of the shows keep going. Yes. All right, so do you want to get into our next segment?
Sure. Let's move right along to the, what do we call it? The non-fortune cookie?
Yep, non-fortune cookie.
The non-fortune cookie.
It's our awesome odd news segment, one of my favorite parts of the show, the non-fortune cookie.
So sit back. Get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You're in for a hell of a ride. So yes. Get ready.
Yes. We had fortune cookies today, too.
Oh, yes. That's right. Because we had Chinese food. So we had fortune cookies. But this is our non-fortune cookie.
Non-fortune cookie.
So.
And I think it's funny just because I saw Rich pull out his news. And we'll have a picture of it up on the website. He showed up today with a manila folder. It's like completely secretive. Like, you should get a top secret stamp or write it on there. Like,
I didn't want Mike to see my odd news stories.
Right. We keep it completely secret. And to make sure we don't have any overlaps, what I did was I wrote down where the stories were from: Detroit, the Ukraine, and Estonia. And we checked to see if we had any overlaps. But other than that, we don't know what the other one has.
No, we don't. I have no idea what Mike's about to say.
Yeah,
so.
We're completely clueless. That's what makes it so awesome, because our reactions are 100%
real.
Authentic.
I have no idea what Mike's about to say coming up. So,
do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. Let's start off with a a longer story that I have. Not too long. Apparently, dolphins armed with guns and knives have escaped into the wild.
How can dolphins arm themselves with guns and knives?
There are claims circulating that three dolphins trained to attack humans have escaped from a Ukrainian military training facility armed with head-mounted guns and knives.
Why were they trained to hurt humans?
I don't know. They don't know if this is true or not. The Ukrainian government has denied the claim, calling it a fabrication and gross provocation. However, a Russian publication says that the Ukrainian dolphin program is twofold: training the dolphins to detect and mark mines and equipping them with weapons to attack human swimmers who may pose a threat to Ukrainian naval vessels. And it's interesting because Wired, another online site, points out that some Russian soldiers are actually trained to combat dolphins in case they are attacked by them while on a mission. So other countries seem to think that this is
a legitimate threat. Wow.
Several news outlets have reported the former Soviet Union engaged in similar training practices with dolphins, and the seafaring mammals have been used by countries around the world in various naval exercises, including the U.S. The U.S. Navy uses dolphins to detect sea mines and avoid or remove them. The U.S. Navy says that they don't want to arm the dolphins because the Navy has said that dolphins cannot discern between the difference between enemy and friendly vessels or enemy and friendly divers and swimmers. It would not be wise to give that kind of decision authority to an animal. But this has caused quite a big stir. I mean, when you have the country come out and deny it, why would you feel the need to deny it?
Yeah.
But then again, why are you strapping pistols
and
knives?
Why are you strapping guns and knives on the dolphins?
But several news outlets have reported this in Europe and Asia. This is weird.
Why?
You big, stupid jellyfish.
And I had no idea he was going to play that. These things work out perfectly.
It's not a dolphin, but a jellyfish.
It still works, though. When I saw the headline, the first thing that popped in my head was from Austin Powers. Freaking dolphins with sharks.
Sharks, yeah, his
with
was sharks.
Freaking laser beams on their heads.
So this is dolphins with guns on their
dolphins
heads.
Dolphins with guns on their heads, yes.
Who thought this was a good idea, honestly?
I want to be in that meeting. You know, guys, I see an untapped potential in weaponizing dolphins. And all the generals go, yes. That's a good idea.
It's so dumb it might work.
It's so dumb. Yeah, exactly. So the Ukraine denies it. But then Russia trains their soldiers to combat weaponized dolphins.
Yeah.
So who do you believe?
I don't know. That's crazy. I don't know why you trust a dolphin with a gun.
I don't know. How do they fire it?
I don't know. Whatever dolphins
sound
do.
Activated? Because the report says that it would be strapped to their head.
Dolphins
on like the tip
head.
Of their nose, and they just start. I want to see in a couple of days when this episode, when this podcast goes live, if there's any more on this. Odds are it just fades out, but I just thought that was
ridiculous.
We'll
have to do an update on this.
Yeah. We need to find out more about these dangerous weaponized dolphins.
All right, what's your next story, Mike?
My next story is a student in Detroit brought $20,000 to school for show and tell in cash. The student received it from a child who lives across the street from her. Word got around at the local sixth grade academy that the girl was handing out cash to her friends. That's when the principal stepped in and called the police. Chief of Police Mary...
No, you should keep the $20,000.
Yeah. What $20,000? Yeah. We don't know what you're talking about.
it's against our policy to bring in $20,000 to the school, so I had to confiscate it.
Yeah. Chief of Police Mary Sklabazi said the principal became aware of it when she heard the student was giving money away to friends. They brought in the student, secured the backpack, and retrieved the money she had given. A resident, Brent Link, said, My other thought was casino winnings, but drugs was the first one across my mind. Who really keeps that kind of money under their mattress? No word on what the neighbors were doing with that amount of cash around the house, but undoubtedly they were glad to have it back.
Wow, yeah, I wish I had that problem.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, here's $20,000. I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
So she brought a backpack stuffed with $20,000 in cash to show and tell. And she started handing it out.
Well, she's very nice. She cares about her fellow kids. I'm also a fellow classmate. Yes. And if you would like to send some of that money to me, please email the Crispy Noodle.
Yes.
And we'll set
get in touch with us. And,
and we'll set up the necessary arrangement.
I just think it's wild that she got her. Why would the neighbors? How would she get a hold of $20,000 in the first place from the neighbors?
Where? How does this start?
Does she go to the neighbor's house and like steal it? Did they give it to her? Did?
I wish I had those neighbors.
12 years old and she has $20,000 in her backpack.
Yeah, more money than I do.
Yeah, that's more money than I've ever had. So I just
wait until you see what she does for the talent show.
My whole career, I've always done better than anybody else. Only because of one reason. I was born with a golden spoon.
Yeah. But as opposed to a golden spoon, it's $20,000.
A backpack full of... A
backpack, it's $20,000.
Filled with $20,000. All right, so the last story that I have, before we move on to Rich's stories, is a library book was returned to an Estonian library 69 years late. And we have a real life Jerry Seinfeld here.
Yeah, really.
With
with
the library police. An Estonian man was
Bookman. Officer Bookman.
Yes.
Reporting at the scene of the crime here.
An Estonian man has returned a library book 69 years late, partly blaming a World War II bombing that damaged the library for the late return. Last week, the man in his mid 80s returned the overdue book. It was checked out on March 7th, 1944, while Estonia was occupied by Nazi Germany. It was returned along with an apology and an offer to pay the late fee. The library waived the penalty for the late return, but the book still contained the original emblem and serial number. So that was pretty impressive. They don't know why he waited so long to return the book. So after the bombings are over, why wouldn't you take the book back?
Well,
in the 60s or the 70s.
I guess no one
80s,
cares at this point.
Or the 90s. Or the 2000s, or even last year.
No one cares at this point.
Nobody cares at this point. Why wait 70 years?
Yeah. Well, at least, nevertheless, he did break the law.
You betray the law! I am the law!
Good thing Stallone wasn't the officiating librarian on this case.
The evidence has been falsified!
I still can't understand a thing he says. You play that clip, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's funny. What?
You betrayed the law!
You betrayed the law. What was the other one, though?
All right, dude, let's do a little mini game right now.
Oh,
all right.
Gosh.
All right, you understood what this one is?
You betrayed the law!
Yes, you betrayed the law.
All right, how about this one?
I am the law!
I am the law.
Okay, and now how about this one?
The evidence has been falsified!
the something of Forza Bra? What was that? What was that last word?
The evidence has been falsified.
I have no idea. I still can't. I can't. I don't know whether it's me or whether it's the quality or the.
It's Stallone.
It's Stallone. What is he saying? Do you know?
The evidence has been falsified.
The evidence has been falsified.
Why is there like that epic music in the background?
Because it's Judge Dredd.
And why is he like shouting it at the top of his lungs? Like, who is he talking to?
Because it's Stallone.
That's his only volume?
Yeah.
Just shouting?
Unless he's with unless he's with Adrian and Rocky, he's always screaming. That's what he does.
Something like that, yeah.
You betray the law! You betray the law!
Gosh, I'm going to need some water after that one.
Yeah, this is our third show, and he's been playing that clip all along, and I just chuckle. Like, yeah, that's funny. That's funny, I guess.
It has been fortified. All right. All right,
now the manila envelope.
The manila envelope, please.
That was a horrible drum roll.
Woo! There you go. All right, I'm going to pull it out now. All right, you ready for my odd news?
Yes.
There are plenty of ways to see $500 go up in smoke in Las Vegas, but just in case you thought Sin City needed one more, these cigars are just for you. These cigars are hand-rolled in 24-karat gold, and the makers of the Black Tie say it is the only cigar of its kind. The London Cut claimed that their unique gold-leaf cigar even produces golden ashes when you smoke it.
Okay.
The ash will reach 2 or 3 inches in length before crumbling, tripling the size of a properly rolled tobacco cigar. And these cigars are handmade by experienced cigar rollers who produce hundreds of these cigars per day. Each cigar costs $500, and a box of 20 costs $4,800.
So oh my gosh!
They're reasonable. They'll give you a discount if you buy a box.
Can I just point out that you're literally burning through money?
Yes, you're literally burning money with this.
This is ridiculous.
Burning gold. $500 for each cigar. Box of 20, $4,800.
I don't smoke cigars. I don't smoke at all. But why? Why would you pay that type of money just to burn it?
Just because, apparently.
If you want to burn that much money, you could just put a bunch of money into a bag and burn that.
Yeah, you could just do that.
$4,800 for 20 cigars?
Or you could show up to your daughter's show and tell and just give it out to people.
Yeah, just give it out to people.
That would be also pretty nice.
Yeah.
You could do that, too. So there you go. If you wanted a unique way to waste $500, you can get a cigar.
Lots of people are looking for that.
Yeah, a lot of people have that problem, apparently. Yeah.
Just have $500 lying around that they literally need to burn through.
Yeah. All right. You ready for the next story?
Sure.
A Southwest Ohio nun who voted on behalf of another nun who died before last year's presidential election has now been charged with illegal voting.
Oh, no.
Sister Margaret Cluse was among the people charged with voting illegally in the state of Ohio.
That Ohio.
Yeah. Crazy Ohio.
We need to get rid of Ohio and Florida.
We need to get rid of Florida, all right?
Every election
Florida, the last three presidential elections don't have their results in by the end of the night. Like,
yeah,
seriously.
They're completely inept. Oh, we're a really big, important swing state. Well, why don't you get your results in so we know where to count you? They're a swing state, but they're not counted until the election is over.
Yes. Go into your voting booth, punch the option of the person that you want. Walk out, count it. How hard is that? It is not that hard.
They should get...
Punch the keys, for God's sake!
I think the problem is that there are a lot of old people in Florida. So what you do is you round them up in a warehouse, and you just do show of hands. Do you want Romney, or do you want Obama? Just count the hands, and then mark it down.
Just, I don't know why. Every election.
The
last three presidential elections, Florida has not... been able to be declared within the night of coverage. Yeah. You had to wait like the next day. Like, yeah. And you're one of the first states to vote. Like,
they really dropped the ball on that. I know. I'm surprised when Alaska gets their votes in.
Alaska gets its vote in before.
Yeah, because they vote like before. I don't know when they Florida. Vote. It's like a day later than everybody else.
Jeez, it's not that hard.
Especially when you're that when you claim that you're that important. If I were a presidential candidate, I would never go to Florida. They don't count. They've like when have they made an impact in the last? several...
Except for 2000.
Other than 2000.
When the voting results fell off the back of a truck.
Yeah. And even then they messed up. They were important, but they still messed up. Anyway,
so a nun charged with illegal voting in Ohio. All right, you ready for the next story?
Yes.
Okay. Four men, including a would-be groom, have been arrested for a marriage proposal stunt in which hundreds of motorcycles blocked a Southern California freeway. The San Gabriel Valley reports that four people were arrested last week on suspicion of becoming a public nuisance and taking part in an unlawful assembly. As many as 250 motorcycles were going to block the eastbound Interstate 10 so that a biker could propose to his girlfriend. Oh, isn't that sweet?
Yeah, sure. Cause a massive traffic jam.
When she would accept, a bike would send up a cloud of pink smoke through its exhaust pipes.
Were these two people like bikers?
Yeah.
That's why they did it?
The stunt was captured on video. It lasted about 2 minutes until the authorities interfered and they were not amused.
No.
No, they did
not like
it.
That's shocking. They weren't amused that they shut down an entire highway?
No, they thought it'd be good.
Oh.
It would be good for society.
Yeah.
We're keeping the sanctity of marriage alive.
Exactly.
Who are you to criticize us?
Okay, we'll go with that one. Again, why? Why do people do things? Why do people think that's a good idea? To shut down
Let's
an entire highway.
We're going to block traffic.
Oh, we're not going to get in trouble. Don't worry.
Yeah. It'll be fine.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Especially in California, where like everything gets jammed.
Oh my gosh, I know. They have enough traffic problems. Why
do it in like Wyoming or something? Like,
where the heck did they find 250 motorcycle? Where did they find?
All bikers know each other.
All bikers know each other.
Another show, Sons of Anarchy, pretty much proves that. If you would watch Sons of Anarchy, Mike, you would know. Hello.
That's another show you keep recommending to me.
Yeah, it's a good show. You should watch Sons of Anarchy. That's another good one.
All bikers know each other.
So, yeah, all bikers know each other. It's just
a thing. Yeah. Oh, yes. I'm a biker, and you are a biker. I know you. Is that what they do when they see each other? Hello. I see you have a motorcycle. I have one as well. We are kinsmen.
Very, very formal.
Bound together by the secret oath of the motorcycle.
Very formal these bikers are, apparently.
You didn't know that?
No.
They don't ride with black ties and...
Doth thou have a cycle for thine
Dost
wife?
Thou have a helmet that thou can borrow?
Thou would like a Budweiser to drink in thy cup.
You know, we're talking in like medieval terms. They should do like jousting on opposite sides of the
highway. Motorcycles, yeah.
That would be dangerous.
Guys, we're going to outlaw the guns. We're going to outlaw... All right. We're going to...
You have to carry a lance now.
Yep. For all the people that think Obama's going to take away your guns, here's what's going to happen. Obama will take away your guns, and then everyone will have to fight with lances.
Yes. Excuse me, sir. Do you have a license to carry that lance? I want to see that. I want to see more lances on the road.
Yep. More lances. We want motorcycle jousting done immediately.
Yes, right now.
That's how we will control the state of motorcycle clubs.
Yes.
Coming soon to Sons of Anarchy, Season 6.
Jousting.
Are you taking note of this, Kurt Sutter? We're coming up with great ideas.
Yeah, we're writing shows for you guys.
Yeah. Jousting.
Oh, man. Honestly, I would love to see that. I really would.
All right, you ready for the next story?
All right, yeah, let's do this.
All right, in Waterloo, Illinois... when it comes to dealing with divots, score one for golfer Mark Mihal. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that the mortgage broker from Creve Coeur, Missouri, is recovering after a sinkhole just opened up beneath him Friday on the fairway at the 14th hole of a southwestern Illinois golf course. The pit that swallowed him was 18 feet deep and 10 feet wide.
That is a huge sinkhole.
Yeah. The 43-year-old was able to be hoisted safely with a rope, and paramedics said that he only had a dislocated shoulder after the incident. And when asked if he would play the course again, he said, quote, "It'd be kind of strange to play that hole again for sure."
You know what's funny is that there's probably a bunch of wives out there where their husbands go golfing, and now they're going, see, see, I told you.
Yeah. Oh.
That's why you're not allowed to golf now.
You're never going on the golf course again.
You might get swallowed up by a sinkhole.
Yeah. it's going to happen.
That is wild. I don't golf. But
18 feet deep and 10 foot wide. Bam.
Just standing there getting ready to tee off, and then all of a sudden the ground starts moving.
Wow, I didn't know my aim was that bad.
The golf course is trying to tell you something.
Yeah, stop playing golf.
You're 3 over par. You're done. The golf course is going to eject you.
You've triple bogeyed everything on this course. You're going to... If you're not leaving the golf course, I will make you leave the golf course.
We got one more?
Yeah, I got one more. The Catholic Church has been left red-faced at Vatican City as it emerges that priests have shared an apartment block with Europe's largest gay sauna.
Oh, no.
The Holy See owns 19 apartments in the block in Rome after buying a £21 million share of the building in 2008. But several of the flat house is located just yards away from the Europa Multi Club, which is one of the largest gay sauna clubs in Europe.
Just bad news after bad news for the Catholic Church.
Yeah. Several of the priests, notably Cardinal Ivan Diaz, whose 12-room apartment is located just yards away from the Multi Club, is the head of the Congregation of the Evangelization of Peoples, who's right now taking part in the conclave to elect a successor to Pope Benedict the 16th.
Oh, man.
The facility, which is billed as Italy's best-known gay sauna, has a Turkish bath, a Finnish sauna, whirlpools, and massages. Its website touts one of its bear nights with a video of hairy men stripping down and changing into a priest outfit.
Oh, no.
It says
it just gets worse and worse.
It says the men are free to the music of his clergyman remaining in a thong because he wants to expose his body and his soul.
Oh, God.
and people are saying on the street, quote, oops, I took the wrong door. I thought it was the chapel. The Vatican has declined to comment on the proximity of the sauna.
Oh, you touched my ta-la-la. My ding ding dong.
What was that?
That's what they're doing. That's what they're playing in the gay sauna. That archbishop will be facing a Vatican investigation and could be subjected to further punishment if evidence of him attending the gay sauna is found. There you go.
Oh, man.
Oh, you touched my ta la la. My ding ding dong.
Oh, my gosh.
Why do they keep finding themselves in these horrible situations?
That's what happens.
All right. That basically sums it up.
I thought it was the
I thought it was the chapel.
I thought it was the chapel. You guys got the spirit of the Lord in us today.
Did you find all these just for that story?
No.
This doesn't look like the confessional. Oh my God, we're horrible.
Is it just me or is it getting hot in here?
Oh, you touched my ta-la-la. My ding-ding-dong.
All right. We got to rein it in.
All right, there you go. Oh, never has my secondary soundboard come in handy.
We don't even have any commentary on it.
It's perfect. There you go. You just need that.
All right, we got to compose ourselves.
All right, there you go. That was our...
We're so professional.
Yeah. All right, that's our odd news segment.
Woo. That was something.
You weren't expecting that, were you, Mike?
No, that was really odd. That's the definition of odd news. So, I guess that wraps up the third episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Wow. You're just on fire with those sound clips today.
All of a sudden, everything's falling into place.
Jeez.
But, all right. Yeah. Very good episode. Very good episode. Oh, so much fun.
We hope you guys have enjoyed it as well.
So, yeah. So, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you have something that you would like to let us see or something that you want us to talk about on the podcast, let us know. We're on Twitter. We're at The Crispy Noodle. We're also on Facebook.
On Facebook, yes. Just look up The Crispy Noodle.
And or if there's something just you want to send directly to the site, go to thecrispynoodle.com and let us know.
We have a suggestion box on the About Us page. So that's thecrispynoodle.com.
Yeah, there you go. So even if you just want to send a straight-up suggestion, there you go.
If you want to follow us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. That's all you got to do.
Awesome.
All right, let's end it. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
We are the Crispy Noodle. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in the vegetarian salad of life.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
There you go.
All right, good times, noodle salad.
Yep, noodle salad, the crispy noodle.
All right, see you guys.
See you next week.
Good times, noodle salad.
Yes! Yes!